Happy New Year, Royal MS fans. I loved last year. There was COVID-19 was over. Movies that we liked came out. It was a fantastic year. I hope you liked the fireworks. They were really, really noisy in the streets. It woke me up in the middle of night, but luckily I went back to sleep. We've had a really good holiday, and we went to a water park on the last day. If you want to know more, you can listen to Holiday Part 2, which we will put on soon. Shout out to Chris, Shav and Indra from Mauritius and their little sister Simi. Sounds a bit like Lily. Lily just said, yeah. Anyway, remember on Scrap Part 1, I said, is there any word that doesn't mean any, that means let's get back into something that's not anyway? Well, without Daddy's help, I found out a new one how to say. Let's get back into it. But I guess it's four words. And anyway, it's just one, and it's quicker to say, and a bit more better. Anyway, I can't say anything but any what. Let's get back into the book. Where is Scrap? There you are. Episode 2. The Humans. Welcome to Somewhere 513. All are welcome to our welcoming wells, seeing expectations. All non-humans remain welcome, including without exception, indigenous life forms extant / dormant / protein, transient, immigrant. There's loads of weird words I don't really understand. Just, and then at the end it says just no humans. What did you say? The words echoed around Scrap's head. Memories of the life he'd tried to forget sparked and fizzed in his brain frame. King of the robots. No one had called him that for 10 years. I said, replied Nat. You're king of the Nat, for the last time. It's not him, snapped Paige, grabbing her sister's arm. Does he look like a king of anything to you? Maybe he's changed. When it was 10 years ago, you wore nappies and it smelled like nappies. Nat tucked at her sister before turning back to Scrap. Do you know Dandelion Brightside? Nat! Paige hissed. Scrap felt his core run cold. That name. He peered at the humans and immediately realized it was her he was seeing in them. How could he have missed it? It was in their searching, dark eyes, their defiance, their will, their hope. It was their mother he saw, their mother, who he had tried so hard not to think about for 10 long years. Might as well have been staring him in the face. In an insult, his brain frame was flooded with memories. The last day he saw her, and all the things he had said on that day, he didn't regret. He remembered leaving, remembered her calling after him. He'd somehow always thought that, despite everything, they had managed to find a way off-world, that someone had come looking for them, that someone had sent help, that they had been rescued. that they had blast off into the void and escape this unforgiving doomed somewhere. But it looked like they'd stayed all this time, and they'd had children. Children, can you believe it? Children. Oh, Mum made you, Nat proudly declared, as Scrap gazed open-mouthed at the humans. Nat helpfully mouthed her mum's name, Dandelion Brightside. He blattered. Wait, do you know her? Asked Paige. What? No, I don't. He lied with a rasping shrug. He added, I just heard the name. That's all. Dandelion Brightside designed the cores of every bot on 513, and she made the magic glove that founded you. Explain that. Abracadabra. That's not the word. And it is not a magic glove, huffled Paige as she trapped her arm guard. It was made from a dull orange metal, and mounted upon it was what looked like compass together with a small screen filled with blinking lights. Its core tracer, she added impatiently. It's for. I know what the core trace is, Scrap interrupted. Mum said it would find the king of the robots, said Nat. For clarification, she added, that's you, king of the. Stop saying that! Scrap snapped. He cast his eyes from the pile. Other junk cases, not 100 paces away, were beginning to pay attention to Scrap's new visitors. Now you listen to me. You can't be out here. Scrap hissed. Humans are lord on somewhere 513. Oh, 513 is 513. The digits. I didn't get it for a couple of 1 minutes. You need to go home and hide. We can't, said Paige, pulling her hood back over her head. Before nudging her sister to the same. Not yet. Do you live there? Asked Nat, pointing at Scrap's shack. Our house is underground, which Mum says. This isn't how most houses are, but it's how our house is. It's called the Foxhole. Mum says there's no foxes in it, but I don't know what a fox looks like, because I haven't seen one, or an otter, or an elephant, because there wouldn't be room for them in the Foxhole, which is why they lived outside. She held her arms out, pointing left and right, and craned back her neck upwards. And that actually does make sense, because you can look and see outside goes that way forever and up forever and Nat, Paige interrupted. Scrap rubbed his forehead, scrapping off a few flakes of rust. But the foxholes are just bunkers, he said. The robots built them in case of meteor showers or space pirates or aliens, invaders. It was never supposed to live here. Your mum and dad have really been this whole time. Mum and dad and Paige and me, explained Nat as Paige glanced around. Paige and me were born there, but I never knew my dad because he died when I was much years old. Oh, Scrap said quietly. I'm sorry. My dad was called Captain Trip Gander, and his rocket ship was called the Black-Necked Stork. Paige corrected her. Stork, Nat continued. The ship that bringed all the people to somewhere 513. Captain Gander? Yeah, I've heard his name too. Much as Scrap, he pressed his tiny rusted fingers against his temples, trying to take it all in. After a moment, he said, You're really spending your whole lives underground. I mean, we're not moles, but yeah, Paige replied. Definitely. No one came to find you? Asked Scrap. No, said Paige quietly. No one came. So we came to find you, said Nat happily. And we found you, so now we can do the mission. Mission? Repeated Scrap. What mission? Shh! Paige hissed, tilting her head to listen. Do you hear that? Scrap tapped his best ear with a rusty finger, hoping to improve its reception. There it was, familiar and distant shriek, growing louder by the moment. They found us, Paige said, grabbing Nat's arm. Nat, cover! Episode three, the hunters. Sounds a bit like the humans. We're going to read episode three, and then we're going to stop and do another episode. Found our patient are painted it. Free will trademark technology makes our robots more human than ever. They now want the same things that we want, and that makes them better than ever at making sure you get the life and the world that you deserve. From your guide to a new somewhere by the Fargen Corporation. Found you? Who's found you? Paige didn't reply. She grabbed her sister and dragged her behind a mound of empty cases. Scrap turned towards the angry screech of the thrusters and looked up. Two flight cycles descended through the air. Purple exhaust fumes billowing behind them. Hunters, Scrap whispered as the cycles drew closer. It wasn't the first time they or predators like them had circled the path. Every now and then, vehicles like these would appear in the teal blue sky and soar overhead on the trail of this creature or that. Scrap couldn't say what moviated these once well-programmed robots to saw the deserts of this sad somewhere for prey, or why the first time since Scrap made his home on this mountain of metal debris they were suddenly making a beeline straight for him. Junk case, cried one of the hunters as they flight cycles clanged roughly onto the shifting surface of parts. Scrap watched two robots dismount and realized he'd never see a hunter up close before. These two were three times his size at least. Grubby cloaks covering lean metal cases with his long, segmented arms and legs. Atop their shoulders sat fearless, polished and metal heads, one a spear, the other a cube. The spear-headed robot wore the horned skull of some poor, long-dead alien on his shoulder, while the cube-headed one's belt clanked with what looked like grenades. What happened to their cases? Scrap wondered as they strode towards him. Even without their strange adornments, he didn't recognize their design. They looked almost nothing like any of the robots that set down somewhere 513 all those years ago, but neither did he. I've been seeing some sorry looking junk cases any time, June, said the sphere headed robot, but this one takes the biscuit. This one takes the whole tin. Terry, said the cube-headed robot, casing a long shadow over Scrap. Ever seen a case like it? Never seen a case like it, Terry replied as the pair circled him. Can we take a picture? What? Asked Scrap. In an instant, these two robots were either side of his shoulders, all pressing their faces to his. his. Terry held out his arm, and a small camera embedded in his thumb flashed. Scrap shrugged them away and backed off towards his shack. "What's your name, junk case?" Terry asked. "Mind your own motors," Scrap replied. "Get lost." "I'm Terry," the sphere-headed robot said after a moment. "This is my sister, June." "See, how easy was that, junk case?" noted June. "Politeness costs nothing," agreed Terry. "If a couple of robots can't pass the time of the day, then I don't know what civilization is coming to. I really don't." "Maybe he doesn't remember his name," suggested June. She tapped to the inside of her head and added, could be a glitchy brain thing." "There's nothing wrong with my brain frame," grunted Scrap. He wasn't about to tell them his real name, but keen to prove he had all the vultures, he cast around for something to call himself. Unfortunately, all he could think of was the name that tiny tatty human had given him. So despite himself, he said, "Scrap. My name's Scrap. "Suits you," declared June. "You want to be hear a joke, Scrap?" "What do you call a junk case with no head?" asked Harry. "An improvement," June boomed. The robot's laughter echoed across the pile. "What do you gubs want, Scrap?" growled. "Oh, I'm sorry. We were keeping you all from important junk case stuff," said June. She plucked one of the grenades from her belt and tossed it from hand to hand like a ball. "See me and my brother here. We're hunters. We've travelled from the frozen mountains to the ocean jungles to the edge of the elsewhere and stalked nearly every living thing on this planet." "Why?" asked Scrap, staring uneasily at the grenade. "Good question," replied June. "Why do we do it, Terry?" "Love?" suggested Terry. "Love," June agreed. "We're passionate about our work. I can't deny it. Me and my brother have something of a bucket list. We won't be satisfied until we've hunted every last critter on 513. If it walks, swims, flies, or crawls, we're going to hunt its head off," added Terry. Scrap bristled. "You've never met robots like them. Years of hunted clearly took its toll. Each pursuit had left them wanting more, perverting their programming, corrupting their cores, leaving them desperate for their next chase. A decade ago, he would have stood up with them without thinking. Even today, he felt himself clench his tiny fists. There's nothing here but dead core junk cases," he said. "Leave me alone." With all the sudden click of a button, June armed her grenade. A red light blinked impatiently in the center of the explosive as it counted down to detonation. "Want to play catch, junk case? Loser loses us an arm." Scrap stood his ground. Not in the mood, he grunted. "You're no fun," said June. A deft click deactivated the generator and she replaced it on her belt. "I don't blame you, junkies. All this boom bags to make me nervous too," Terry noted. His right hand instantly splitting apart to reveal cannon barrel. "I prefer the sophisticated charm of the handgun hand. You'd be wasting your charged," said Scrap, staring down the barrel of Terry's cannon. "Nothing here worth blasting." "Can't argue with that," June laughed. "Well, I guess we'd be on our merry way. We also forgot to ask, so we did, said Harry, tapping the top of Scrap's head with a hand gutting. Tell me, Junkies, do you know what a human looks at? Scrap's eye darted towards the mound of cases. Good question, Terry. Have you ever seen a human, Junkies? Scrap's reply was half whispered. Why did you ask? The truth is, June and me were on a long-range patrol from the time the humans arrived in 513. Terry's right hand reformed in an insult instant, and he splayed his fingers wide. Then, before we knew it, they'd vanished, rocketed off-world to who knows somewhere. Yes, yeah, says Scrap, that's what I heard too. Apparently they're this big, said June, and held her arm in the air. Green scales, and the rare ones are purple, tentacles coming out of no everywhere. Three or four eyes, five or six mouths, and slime. Like so much slime you can't even get hold of them. Slime coming out of everywhere, added Terry. Can you imagine those things roaming around here? I mean, have you ever seen anything like that, Junkies? No, said Scrap, happy at least not to be telling a lie. Anyway, like you said, the humans have gone. Exactly, exclaimed June. By my count, that makes somewhere 513 the first free robot world in the galaxy. The first somewhere free of the slime of humankind, added Terry proudly. But then what? Scrap asked. Then this, replied June, and held her hand in front of Scrap's face, clenched between her finger and her thumb was something small, hard and off-white. Scrap peered closer. Is that, he muttered, that Junkies is a tooth, said Terry quietly. A 5-year-old central insole, to be exact, but not from any sacro rabbit, gigantoad or sandsucker, added June. No, Scrap, that tooth is human. Like the one I got for the Tooth Fairy, Daddy. Now we'll continue in episode 4, The Stink. I hope you have a great time and we'll have another episode. Bye!